think we start with a very clear and very old green principle, which is you can't have infinite growth on a finite planet. And we've had a growth economy for decades, and that really hasn't delivered for our society. It hasn't delivered a stable economy. It hasn't delivered jobs that people can build a life on. You look at the situation in Britain, that one in five workers is on less than a living wage, 0 hours contracts. We've got record company profits, but people are really struggling to survive. So what we need is a different kind of economy. And there's lots of things that we actually need to, if you like, grow. We need to grow our insulation industry. We've got a program over the next parliament to insulate 9 million homes. We need to invest heavily in renewable energy. We need to invest in public transport. We want to actually grow the NHS. We want to see, between the NHS and social care, 400,000 new jobs. But if we look at the overall environmental situation, currently in Britain we use the resources of three planets every year, but we've only got one planet. So what we need is a really different kind of economy that meets people's needs and lives within environmental limits.
Big business is a little bit wary of Labour, but a lot of them are terrified of you. A lot of people in this country are employed by big corporations.
Well, what we need to see is big corporations paying their way in a way that they're not at the moment. Big multinational corporations are taking big profits out of Britain and indeed many other countries, but they're not paying their taxes in those countries where they're operating. They're not paying for the roads, they're not paying for the policing, they're not paying for the schools and hospitals that their staff and customers actually need. And everyone else is paying for them. So they really have to pay their fair share of taxes. And what we're saying is we're lifting corporation tax to 30%. It's currently 20%, the same as small business. And if you go back historically, not very far, to 2008, it was Labour who actually broke a very traditional link, which there was always a 10% gap between the tax that big business paid and the tax that small business paid. And we're very pro-small businesses. We want strong local economies where money goes round and round in those local economies. We know that small businesses return huge benefits to their local communities, whereas big business hasn't been doing that.
Are you pretty relaxed if a certain number of large corporations say, you know what, we're going to domicile ourselves elsewhere?
Well, what we need to do is say that if you're operating in Britain, you should pay your fair share of taxes in Britain. And that's why Green MP Caroline Lucas had a private members bill in 2011, the Tax and Financial Transparency Bill. And what that said was what's known as country-by-country reporting in the jargon, that if you want to do business in Britain, you have to report all the other countries in the world where you do business, what your turnover is there, what your staff numbers are there, and what your profits are there. And that will really reveal if, say, you're, for example, a multinational coffee chain that's making most of its global profits in a tax haven where you employ two men and an office dog. We cannot allow companies to continue to operate that way. They are parasitical on the rest of us, on the rest of society. It's very hard for small businesses to compete against that. We really need to level the playing field.
However, what your plan does rely on is debt. Are you quite relaxed about the eye-watering levels of debt that we already have and increasing those?
Well, first of all, it's worth looking at this in a historic context, and the actual levels of debt in Britain, from about half of the last century, they were higher than this, and no one thought very much of it. And it really depends a lot on what you're spending that money on.
That was to pay off World War I and World War II debts, though, and that was an extreme situation.
But we have a situation now where we have an economy that's not delivering for people. And it's a question of what you're actually borrowing the money for. And a very good example of this is we want to free up local councils to borrow to help to build 500,000 homes for social rent, genuinely affordable homes, in the next term of the next parliament. Now, if a council borrows to build a home for social rent, a council home, if that remains in council hands and we want to end the right to buy scheme that seems the privatisation of 1.5 million homes in Britain, if that council builds that home, it stays in their hands. You know what return you're going to get, that you'll get the council rent coming back in to fund the debt over the long term to pay off the debt, and then you've got an asset that's sitting there for the long term. And you know, that is an example of a very good reason to go into debt.
Where are these homes going to get built, Natalie? All over your beloved Greenbelt, concreted over beautiful meadows and pastures that city dwellers love so much?
Absolutely not. We very much want to protect the greenbelt, but there's huge numbers of brownfield sites around Britain, and particularly this comes into another element of our housing policy, which is rebalancing. The focus has been very much on London. People, money, resources have flooded into London and the southeast. There are actually areas of the north and parts of the Midlands where there are lots of empty homes. We want to bring those back into use.
I asked some of my followers on social media what I should ask you, and one of the common responses was, ask her how on earth they're going to pay for all of these policies. And in the past, green politicians have fallen into a trap of not costing their policies, people say. Is that something you think you need to do better?
Well, we've got the fully costed manifesto that was released a couple of days ago. And in that manifesto, actually, a member of my local party who's very into numbers was going into raptures about how wonderful the tables were in the back. And that won't be everyone's cup of tea. But, you know, it's all set out there. And in short, we need to make multinational companies pay their taxes, as I was talking about, the cost of tax avoidance and evasion is $34 billion. We're introducing a wealth tax which would apply for people who are worth more than £3 million. That can bring in $25 billion by the end of this next parliament. $20 billion from a Robin Hood tax, the financial transaction tax that 11 European countries are already bringing in. And that's something that could also increase stability in the financial sector. But what we're really talking about is rebalancing our economy and dealing with inequality. And it's really worth focusing on the fact you look at the IMF and the World Bank, organisations like that, are saying inequality is a real threat to our economic stability. We have to tackle this. We can't keep allowing the richest 1% to keep getting richer while the rest of us get poorer.
UKIP, one of their flagship policies, is decreasing the aid budget massively. You've seen what happened to them in the polls over the last few years, obviously extremely popular. You have an opposite policy of increasing the aid budget. What's your justification for that?
Well, there's a couple of justifications for that. To start off with, it's the right thing to do. There's huge numbers of people in the world, nearly a billion people in the world, go to bed hungry regularly. That shouldn't be considered acceptable. But even people who, you know, aren't really concerned about the rest of the world, if you're thinking about Britain's future security, future place in a world in which there's still huge amount of hunger, huge amount of disease, the threat of climate change, it's also in our own interests to create a more stable world by spending our aid money and spending it well on making sure we help the most vulnerable people around the globe.
Many, many critics across all political colours say that much of the aid budget is wasted, it's ineffective. All it does is shores up a whole load of middle-class do-gooders working in the aid industry. How are you so sure that it's so effective?
Well, I think what at the moment we have a situation where quite a lot of our aid, and this government explicitly has done this, is focused on promoting British industry, British elements. And that really is not the right way to spend aid. Aid should be focused on the poorest. It should be focused on evidence-based policies. And I think, you know, I give some credit to the former Labour government in being focused on really looking at building up institutions, building up health departments in some of the most vulnerable countries, things that clearly need to be done. There's a lot that needs to be done. It needs to be targeted in the right way.
Where are we going to vote in the EU? What is your policy on the referendum? Do you want a referendum? And if so, do you want us to stay in?
We support a referendum because we believe in democracy. We trust the people. We wouldn't necessarily have put it on the table, but now it's there. You have to be in your late 50s to have had a chance previously to vote directly on the EU. In that referendum, if it happens, we'll be campaigning very strongly to remain in the EU. We believe that there are decisions that are made at the right sort of level, environmental standards, workers' rights standards, decided at that kind of level. But we also want reform of the EU, and by that I mean about 180 degrees opposite to what David Cameron means by reform. We want an EU that works for local communities, is more decentralised, not that works for big multinational companies. And of course, around Europe, it's the Green parties who are fighting against the proposed EU-US free trade deal, known as TTIP, which is a real threat to our democracy and our standards.
A lot of corporations want that transatlantic trade and investment partnership you're talking about. A lot of corporations are very worried about an EU referendum. It would introduce 3 or 4 years of uncertainty, they say. I know I'm going back to your friends in big business again, but if you're lining up so many policies, that does scare off a lot of the business community. Isn't that a very high-risk strategy?
Well, I think it depends what you mean by the business community. I know Caroline Lucas, the Green MP, is a small business champion with the Federation of Small Business. We very much support small entrepreneurs, business people getting started with environmentally friendly, you know, good local businesses that provide good local jobs that are a centre of their communities. And that's what we see as the real central part of the Britain's economy in future. And, you know, we really need to bring manufacturing back to Britain. We need to bring food production back to Britain. And we need a different kind of economy to do that.
Are there too many people in Britain living here? Are there too many immigrants coming to our shores?
Well, immigration is an area where there's been a really damaging and divisive debate led by UKIP, but sadly very much not taken on by particularly the two largest parties. You know, we say, first of all, we celebrate the free movement of people in the EU. That's good for Britons who are able to move around the rest of the EU, and we benefit from people coming here. And in terms of non-EU immigration, we need a humane, fair, controlled policy. And what we have at the moment is neither humane nor fair. We're not treating refugees properly. on the government's own figures, 19,000 Britons can't live in their own country with their non-EU spouse or partner. We have a system that's not fair or reasonable. It's discouraged foreign international students when they could be a huge benefit both to our universities economically, but also to the other students studying with them. We have a very dangerous situation in the immigration debate, and I'm proud that the Green Party's really taken that on, and that you can buy in the Green Party shop a mug that says we're standing up for migrants.
Okay, so that you are welcoming a certain level of immigration, probably more than some of the other parties. Where are they all going to live, and whose jobs are they going to have?
Well, one of the situations here, we come back to the point I was talking before about regional development policy. We've had this focus of people, money, resources in the southeast, whereas, you know, for example, Scotland is saying, we'd love to have more migrants, we'd love to have more people. Parts of the north, there's huge areas of housing that people aren't living in because there's no economic opportunities.
But there aren't the work. There isn't the work there. There aren't the jobs.
Well, you can't magic that.
Well, that's where we need
a policy that actually encourages strong local economies built around small businesses and cooperatives. At the moment, we have this big multinationalist finance sector focused. You look at the amount of money that's going into the finance sector and the amount of, you know, people, top graduates who end up in the finance sector. Imagine if we had more of those going into agriculture, going into manufacturing, going into jobs around the country, growing, you know, new innovative small businesses, businesses in renewable energy, all of those things around the country. We could have a much healthier, more productive Britain that really has a balanced economy.